artificial intelligence has come to the dog world. Do you sometimes struggle to find time for your dog? Maybe you're at work all day while your dog just paces about. On this episode, we talk with John Honcharu, the CEO and founder of Companion. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Life Unleashed. I was somewhere reading something the other day, and I picked up on this article about, I don't even know how to describe it, AI for dogs, which of course got my attention. So I read a little further, and the company has named it Companion, and it can provide enrichment activities and training activities for your dogs, even cats, when you're not home. The final thing that I read is that it scans your dog so it can detect if there's something out of whack with their gait or their limping. I was like, no way. I don't even know how to get on a patient portal, and I've never figured out the concept of scanning. I'm back in like the 90s with the fax machine. Regardless, I reached out to the inventor, the person who invented this thing. And funnily enough, he not only got back to me, he's going to be a guest on today's show. So join me in welcoming John Honcharu. John is the founder and the CEO of Companion, a positive reinforcement AI enrichment device that helps dogs stay mentally active. Welcome, John. I'm so excited that you responded to my email. And I'm just thrilled to have you on the show. I know this product hasn't launched yet, so we'll get to that. But as someone who like literally cannot figure out my Wi-Fi, I want you to describe. I can't even like envision.
Yeah, happy to do it. So one, thanks so much for having us on. It's awesome to chat with you. At Companion, I'll start with the very simple and I'll expand out like what the Companion does in its essence. And then I'll talk a little bit about like why we're excited about it, both this and kind of for the next 5 or 10 years. So the Companion is a device that is fast enough and uses these AI, this AI chip, and this AI software to understand what your dog is doing. So specifically like kind of how your dog's moving, how your dog's reacting, is your dog comfortable, is your dog engaging, is your dog sitting? But it uses this camera and computer vision to understand what your dog is doing in the moment. So that if your dog sits, if your dog goes down, the camera can recognize that at superhuman speeds and reward your dog for doing, say, a sit or a down. And we first start off with behaviors by either prompting your dog using your own voice to say sit or down.
Wait. So it doesn't, like, I think of these toys I used to get for my kids, and like the English was poor, the accent was unrecognizable with their little AI toys. So you can actually record your voice giving your dog a command and
it will recognize.
Yeah, AI is like so out there for me, but I just love that because I think, why do I want my dog responding to some robot?
Well, you
on
can
a
do
machine?
Both. So it's like, oh, so there's a fun aside. So let me answer the question directly, and then I'll go to the fun aside about audio. But
fun fact, we call them.
It's really, really cool to watch this because your dog really quickly learns that it is actually driving the machine. Like, it is the one in control because every time it sits, it gets a reward. Every time it goes down, it gets a reward.
Well, that's positive reinforcement, right? It's just capturing and prompting. I love it. Okay.
And then once it realizes that, once it realizes the dog has agency, and we're really proud of being fear-free based, of being positive reinforcement based, of being 100% opt-in for the animal, they can always walk away. The device has fun with the animal, and the animal learns that whenever it turns on, it can come hang out and have a good time. And then we get an opportunity to reward it for those behaviors which you value, and then reward the dog for the behaviors and then associate them with your own voice over time. So that, by the way, on audio to expand out, like, you can just imagine the possibilities. Like, most, we would love to spend 100% of our time at home playing with our dog, but many of us have to work. And so, like, whether you're working from the office and you're starting sessions remotely from your phone, or you have it programmed to go on throughout the day to give your dog joy, or you're working from home, but you see your dog and you want to give them like something great to do throughout the day.
I work from home generally a part of every day. But so often my dogs are just at my feet and I know they want me to take a break. I know they want me to play because they enjoy being with me as much as I do, but I just don't have the time. And one of the videos I was watching once I found the article showed a woman like at her desk typing and the dog was just playing with a machine in the background. So it was like, it was awesome. And I imagine like for me, it would make me feel less guilty if my dogs just could get some energy out regardless of whether I can take them or not.
We think everyone wins. So like not only is your dog doing something awesome in like 20 minute sessions throughout the day, whether it's like one or two just as treats, whether it's like 5 or 10 sessions a day because you're feeding a mixture of treats and kibble if you want to feed all your dogs food through
the
device.
Oh, yeah, you can feed their dinner that way.
But it gives them, it's like the world's most advanced food puzzle in its essence. It gives your dog something really...
It
gets your dog to like flex those fundamental drives. It gives your dog some play, some thinking, some energy. So it's not only is it's enjoyment on an and flexing those fundamental drives, which is always good, a good enrichment, but then also doing useful things like helping practice those basic obedience skills that are like help build and fundamentally help maintain the human animal bond, because they are the answer to the question of like, does my dog listen to me? Does my dog like look into my eyes when I call its name? Does my dog come over to me? All of those, like those practicing of those commands, not only once for a lot of repetitions, like, you know, 5 or 10,000 that a machine can do, but also for overtime to make sure that your dog is really responsive. It's like just, you know, as responsive 5 years from now as when you first went out of training and you were so good about doing the homework. Like that's what we want to give to everyone, because it makes them like that much more confident, that much more comfortable to take their dog and live with their dog more. Right. Yeah. If you're more confident in those basic obedience skills, you are more likely to bring your dog to the dog park or that busy intersection or work, because you know that you have really good constant communication with your animal. And that's what I was going to mention on most people leave their animal at home. So there's so much idle time to use that could be used with anxious time if your dog has nothing to do, whether it's chewing on something or whether it's otherwise just, you know, just not with any entertainment or any enrichment. But if you have a companion, you can make use of that idle time in a really cool way. And on the audio side, I was introducing the concept of kind of unlimited time with your dog at home, because dogs have so much, idle time at home, is you can do really interesting things with that time. Like one, you can do, instead of 100 repetitions of sit, you can practice 10,000 over 6-12 months because the device has infinite patience.
I was going to say, whoa, my dog does not have, I thought you were saying a day. I was like, whoa.
No, that would be really, really rapid.
I'm like, my dog's legs would fall off.
But you can also do things like, you could imagine a world in which, like, you could use your own voice, you could use your partner's voice, you could use your kids' voices.
My kid's grandmother.
Yeah.
So when she comes in, she's like, the dog doesn't sit for me. But her voice is so high-pitched that they don't recognize it as a word. So they don't listen. I mean, they love her, but they might jump on her. You know, people are always worried about that. Like, when people come in the door, they don't listen to sit. They're so hyper-aroused, and they jump all over them, and it's, like, embarrassing. You know?
Oh, totally. And to be honest, like there's a ton behaviorally going on in those situations. And I'm not going to sit here and say that like you could perfectly train your dogs in every single voice to have them respond to those commands perfectly, which is just not the case. Like you have to generalize like the dog in each of these instances, for each of these behaviors has to generalize from the device to the human, so that every time when we complete a behavior, quote unquote, we make sure that the pet parent's there for like kind of the final lesson, so the dog can generalize between the machine using the voice to issue the command, and then the human can do the same thing, and the dog's able to generalize. It's just like having a professional trainer train your dog,
right.
and then the trainer will always ask you to
put us out of business, John.
Yeah, no. It's, well, the really fun thing is that like most of the really pro trainers like love this because they view this as so much leverage on their time.
I've already recommended it twice, and I noticed it's on back order, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
So I want to say a couple of things that I thought of. So when I'm training a dog, the first thing I remind my client is, above all, your dog wants to feel, and most of them think love, and I'm like, it's even deeper than love. They want to feel safe. Mm-hmm. They want to feel that they're free to be, right? Mm-hmm. And I explain training is teaching them English as a second language. And as you and I, and apparently your computer know, dogs communicate with intricate postures, the ear and the tail and the eyes. So when I'm teaching, training a puppy or a dog a command, I associate the word with a specific action. And I encourage my clients begin to speak to them for just simple everyday routines like car, outside, upstairs. Little dogs, I say, warn them, say up, up, or alley-oop before you pick them up so the dog can visualize what's happening and learn the word. So they're prompted. Now, I'm a professional trainer. So let's say I was just in a home 2 days ago. They have a dog. They're both using like different methods and the dog has a lot of energy and is mildly confused. So I talked about this product before I even really knew that much. I'm so excited about it. So I said, let's get some of the energy out. They have a little kid, dog's knocking the kid over. Let's get some energy out and get her really listening to words because like so many clients, they don't use the word until the dog's misbehaving. Mm-hmm. So if I were to walk in with my trusty AI thing and I could figure it out on my phone, how does the dog, like I hear you're saying it's a lot of capturing the behavior, right? Mm-hmm. The dog sits and they respond, but is there an initial transfer? Because you're talking about, okay, at the end, the dog and the owner kind of transfer that connection. But mm-hmm. I'm just trying to envision how you would introduce it to a dog. And let's say one client has like a 9-pound Chihuahua and the other one has a border collie. Can it be adjusted to like a distance?
Yes. The answer is yes. Great. So the really, I'll go back to front. So the short answer is the device is a behavior shaping and helping device. So one of the very first things we do is actually train a bunch of kind of sub behaviors that people don't think of as behaviors, but things like attention or things like just where the play area for the device is. And because it's a behavior shaping device, you can actually ask larger dogs to move back in the play area so they have as much room and you can see the whole dog. Or if they're shorter dogs or smaller dogs, you can actually ask them to move closer to the device so that they're actually more of the camera field. So initially, when the device is kind of making friends or acclimating or introducing itself to the dog, the device...
Are they in a room alone, the dog and the device?
Yeah.
Or are you
You do the first like session or two with one of our coaches, like just to answer questions and kind of make it a fun white label, kind of white glove experience for you.
Right.
But the device can fully autonomously interact with your dog. And what it does is basically just have fun, like for the first couple sessions. And in that having
it's like
fun,
a guessing
it's also
game.
Teaching the dog. So it's right. Doing things like rewarding your dog for being within a certain area in front of the device. So if your dog enters into that area, so let's say it's a large dog and we want it to move kind of further away from the device, we can see more of the dog, then we'll actually reward the dog every time it goes towards that large area, towards that back area, right? And if it's a smaller dog, we'll actually reward that dog if it comes closer to the device. So we are shaping the behavior or shaping the understanding with the dog. And just to finish the thought on the some of the earlier things, but in terms of transferring the command between the device and the human, it's not a one-time thing. It actually happens like pretty seamlessly. So because if you think about it, it's not a train's never a one and done thing. As you well know, I imagine proselytize, which is you have to help an animal get to a really good like level of consistency and practice with the skill, but then you also have to keep practicing over time. So over time, our pet parents, our customers, like will help use the device to help, you know, kind of build a lot of repetition on that behavior.
Right.
But they'll use that behavior outdoors or out and about, and then they'll come back and then the dog will keep practicing with the device.
Well, what I love is it's not sit, leash, jerk. It gives so much license to the dog to make a decision.
Yep.
And in my world, I always say your dog only wants to know two things. They want to know where to go and what to do in a given situation. And that's why you teach them a command. So you can say on your mat or sit or lie down. And what I love about this is, as I said before, most of my clients train the dog in these training lessons and then only use it when the dog's misbehaving. And what I love about this is it's a puzzle, it's a game, it's fun. I always say, instead of handing your dog a bowl of food, play games with the food. It's the difference mm-hmm. between handing kids a basket of eggs on Easter versus having an Easter egg hunt. It's
totally.
More fun, right?
I still love a good Easter egg, hunk. Don't get me started. So yes, totally. Like the, and there's a couple of really fun topics you touched on there. Let me see if I can hit four things quickly, and I'll do it concisely, which is one, consistency and frequency, to your point, around like we get to practice these, all of these behaviors with the dog, like every day or every couple of days. So like they are always fresh and your dog is always practicing the idea that audio is an important thing to listen to, specifically your own voice.
English is a second language.
And understand that your voice is an important thing. So
can you, can this be translated? Like if someone in Japan wanted to use this?
Yeah, totally. So the we are focused on English speaking markets for now, just because there's so many dogs in the US and so many dogs in the UK and Australia that we're not going to get to those places first just because the US is so large. Yeah. But there's so many fun things to talk about there. But however, on the audio side, so like one, the one of the byproducts of this training with audio of your own voice is your dog becomes generally much more responsive to the sound of your own voice.
I love it.
It learns that many of the things the device does are a reaction to that. And so most of our paid users will state that they generally observe their animal becoming much more responsive to them, not just the commands, but overall, which is super cool. And it makes sense if you think about it. Also, in terms of trainers, you made the comment of like, we'll just put trainers out of business. The short answer is like all of the trainers we talk to about this, like the good ones that
they care about the dog.
And right. Sorry, I don't mean like good or bad, like as a judgment, but more just the ones who are thoughtful, who practice kind of the same things that we're excited about, positive reinforcement, fear-free. They realize that like how much this can help their clients and how much leverage they can get out of it, because they don't want to spend a ton of time doing 1,000 repetitions of sit with every single client dog. They would love to have a device like this to help their owners, you know, kind of do the homework at home in addition to their own practice.
It gets them to think like, I have to say this command throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a language. It's not a discipline. So that's why I was like on board after a paragraph. I mean,
cool.
You got me
it.
At like fear free. I'm a fear free member, so I'm equally excited when I read that.
We couldn't be more proud that the founder and CEO of Fear Free is on our
Marty.
Advisory
Marty
board.
Was a guest on our show just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He turned me on to you.
He's wonderful, man.
Yeah.
And then the audio is, and so just the last point that I wanted to circle all the way back on from a 0.5 minutes ago is just when you think at the highest level, you hit on two points which are really important to us. One, just this love of the realization that there's so much in animals' posture and movement that we don't, that they are communicating with that
right,
we don't currently understand. And we're really excited about the idea that cameras can help us understand all of these things, especially a camera paired with a device that has perfect memory and can see all these little nuances. Mm. But also with that same infinite time, you can do really fun things that we haven't been able to do before, like use different voices or do things like train your dog to ultrasonic noises so that in the morning, if you'd like to call your dog away from the bed, but you don't want to wake up the kids, you can have the companion use an ultrasonic noise to call your dog to start a session. Or if you want to be able to train your dog to listen to only your voice, you could imagine doing things like actually using 10 or 20 different voices on the device, but only rewarding the dog for listening to your voice.
It's just infinite. It's insane. Yeah. I mean, in a good way.
It's those are the fun things you realize when you have like the companion has like tens, hundreds, and thousands of hours to interact with your dog, to have fun, to teach it new things. Like there's so many fun ways to use those hours to teach things that we've never been able to teach before because we just don't have, like we'd love to have the time, but very few of us have the hundreds or thousands of hours required to do this.
Does the device, so I rescue dogs, I help out a local shelter, and I have 4 or 5 dogs of my own at any given time. Some of the shelter dogs are very reactive to certain noises, like mm-hmm. a train whistle. Like if they haven't been imprinted and socialized, they're going to startle to a lot of noises. Is this, like I
Me
know,
too.
So, exactly. Sophia Yin developed the treat and train machine, mm-hmm. and I noticed that certain dogs were reactive to the sound, or even the clicker can startle some dogs. So is this like when it shoots out, is there like a propeller sound or a sound that a dog might react to negatively?
Great question. So one of the first kind of sub behaviors or sub modules, or one of the first building blocks we do right. with the dogs is to make the device fun in all aspects. One is make the device very approachable. So not only do we get to play games and have fun, But the way we do that is we start at very low noise and we slowly work up the device's noise level to make sure the animal's comfortable. And if you think about it, like in the same way that we are desensitizing, to use a term, the animal to the noises the machine makes when it dispenses a treat at, like, you know, 10% power, then 20% power, the device actually gets to watch the animal for a reaction and make sure the animal's doing okay, because it has a camera on. So it still gets to see if the animal in field of view, is the animal eating.
Like, what's your mind about? Were you like an engineer? How do people even learn this? Like, how do you program it to be like, if you see the ears back, the dog is sad? Like, how does it all work together?
So I am one of the least well-versed people in the company compared to folks like Ken Ramirez on the behavioral side or Marty Becker on the fear-free side. And we have these amazing colleagues who are able to help us channel all of the information in their heads into every single session. And if you think about the advent, like the innovation of technology, that's the coolest thing, is that you can take someone with that amount of knowledge, distill it into software so that that knowledge is used in every single session. Like, that's the really cool part. And then two, the nice thing about most of the like base level anxiety items are like relatively easy to monitor. Like, I actually think we're barely scratching the surface in terms of what we'd like to do and like to be able to help the pet parent with, in terms of in the future, understanding the animal, if they might have anxiety, depression, joy, like different elements of joy, but understanding the animal's like own mental health, like with far finer grain signals than we're currently using now. Right now we are doing the low hanging fruit things. Like, is the animal still in the field of view? Is it engaged? Is it oriented towards the device? Is it eating? Is it eating rapidly as it normally eats? Like, there's some very easy signals to detect.
Do you program this into your phone?
Yeah. You could do this into your, so one of the things we're excited about, and we started making some noise about, we just published in one of the veterinary journals. I think I sent you the article yesterday.
This is really important because I read that article and I hadn't even thought about it. And it talks about obesity. I have one, we call him the walrus. We love him, but he like came from a shelter and he's always hungry. So he has a little bit of a weight problem. And right away I was like, wow, I didn't even think about that. Like, that's brilliant, because like, I want to walk him 3 miles a day. That's maybe twice a week I have that time.
So the idea, the article is one that just was published in the Fountain Report about a proof of concept we did with the leading center on pet obesity in the U.S., where we showed that the devices, the same computer vision that understands what the animal's doing, could also get a sense of the animal's body condition score, or the animal's underweight, is the animal overweight, which is one of the largest problems in animal health today, with 50 to 60% of all dogs being obese or overweight.
I'm like, can we do this with cats? I got a fat cat too.
And so the technology can not only be used in the companion, you could also imagine us giving the technology to be used in like any veterinarian's phone,
any.
Or any veterinary technician's phone.
Or shelter.
Exactly. But the fun thing is also with the device, it actually, many of our customers choose to feed 100% of their dog's food through the device.
The Easter egg hunt. I love the Easter egg hunt.
Yes.
Right? One at a time is like, how can I make it spit it out so I can eat my food? People think it's mean. I'm like, it's so not mean. It engages the dog.
They love it. Like, they get, like, it's proof is in the pudding in the terms of like most of our customer dogs, like, they get so excited when they
so
see
excited.
A companion session coming
I saw
on.
That video like too when I was digging through. It was so cute.
And the thing is, like, the item on sensing an animal's weight is really fun, because it's just one demonstration of what we think the device is going to be able to do, and we can talk about in the near future in terms of the health stuff. But also, the device can not only sense the animal's body condition score weight, but it can regulate calories.
What?
So if you could imagine doing something like, if you see an animal's overweight, you could not only help inform the consumer, the pet parent, but also help the pet parent slowly. Like, let's say like the body condition score of your animal went up from a 6 to a 7. We are going to reduce calories by 20% very slowly over the next month. And we're going to show you that result to see, like, to show you your dog at a healthy weight. Like,
can you use it for humans?
we have played around with Skittles in the device instead of treats. Only say that, but we are squarely focused on companion animals, because it's this really interesting intersection of, we now, like, we know these, we treat them and we know they're like our kids, but there's this weird asymmetry where, like, we will not leave a toddler at home, but we will leave a dog at home. And so we think that there's a real need and a real opportunity to work very squarely in helping companion animals with that idle time at home. And that's what we're 100% focused on for now.
So one of my dogs we call the Walrus. The other is a skinny part shepherd rescue, and he isn't that treat motivated. He's motivated by play or sound of my voice being happy. So how do you address that with people who might also have dogs that, like, short of like filet mignon, aren't gonna like get up off the couch?
Yeah, so there's lots of different levers you can pull, whether it's the value of the reward. So we allow and we certify a number of different types of treats kind of across mm-hmm. the spectrum that can be used with the device. You can also do things like you might do if you really want to focus on specific skills and you really want to kind of train the dog, then mm-hmm. you might do things like a professional trainer would do with the animal. So you might reduce calories before a training lesson, or you might be sensitive to like what time in the day you would work with the animal. But it's actually very similar to what we try to model the software off of what a professional trainer would do. And then also you can imagine and if you really, really, if your animal's really, really not food motivated, in the future, we'd love to be able to offer things like different types of rewards, like play. So you can imagine a situation where, let's say you have a German shepherd who's not very food motivated. You can imagine using, instead of treats, using a little remote control ball in the training area that every time the animal performs the desired behavior, the ball will turn on for a minute or whatever it might be, right? But we're totally flexible. As long as it's in the scope of positive reinforcement, of fear-free, there's lots of different ways to do this. Like, it's been so fun to realize so far how far we can go with just food and treats alone. But I totally agree. There's a spectrum of different food drives across the animals we see. And typically, like, the levers I just mentioned are enough to, like, really get the animal going.
Right. I always say there's something your dog loves to eat. There is something. And a hot dog, I mean, look at the ingredients in a hot dog. What dog wouldn't love that?
I try not to look at the ingredients in a hot dog.
Yeah.
Or sausage.
And my kids pointed out that 2% unknown could be like somebody's finger or a fingernail or something. And they're like, we don't know.
No comment.
Anyhow, they read too much online. Okay, so when I was talking to Marty, and you've touched upon it a little bit, but I found it really fascinating that you've got this machine programmed down to a science that, let's say I have Wahoo. His body is like a Rhodesian Ridgeback. His head's like a beagle, and he has these little spindly legs that came from I don't know where. So I've got him on this machine. He loves it because he loves treats and he loves games. Let's say he starts limping, but it's at kind of a low level, and I'm busy, and I'm running around, and I've got kids, and I don't notice it.
So one of the things I kind of hinted at before, we've actually been working for several years now with some of the largest health firms in the space, because there's early data to suggest we can do things that to see gait variants, or like a clinical term.
Well, gait is the way they move, right?
Exactly. So seeing if your dog's in pain based off how they change their movements.
Right.
Which makes sense if you think about how much data the camera is able to pick up with all of the interactions with your dog, with those hundreds and thousands of hours, to look for the smallest variation in how your dog might position its joints, or how it might move its joints from a sit to a down, walking across the field of view, or otherwise moving. The device is in a unique position to see if your dog changes those movements from a day ago, a week ago, or 5 years ago with the perfect memory of a computer.
Can it do anything internally to cue you that your dog might be having bloat or have a blockage in their intestine if they ate a sock or something? Is it X-ray vision yet, or is it just all outlined?
It's amazing. So one of our advisory board members, we're lucky to have him, is the chief veterinary officer of Zoetis, which is one of the largest animal health firms in the world.
Sure.
And he has this great quote. I think we did a fireside chat with him and Marty maybe a month or two ago, and he said something along the lines of, almost every condition that a veterinarian is interested in diagnosing or witnessing can be seen somehow visually, whether it's like a direct visualization of an animal limping or changing its gait, whether it's watching an animal and how eagerly they consume the first three pieces of food that come out of the device, and does that change slightly over time,
right,
whether it's how the animal rests when it's upright and standing, like as the animal changes its neck posture, its back posture, which might indicate a neurological condition. But there's so many little visual clues that with just a normal video camera, so what they people call RGB or red, green, blue cameras, which is what the device has, mm-hmm. To give a sense, especially if you can watch the animal over large periods of time, to get a sense of those really small variations that are impossible for us, for you and I, to pick up because we don't have perfect memory. Like, it's the machines superhumanly good at this kind of stuff.
It's so hard to fathom. So the other day I went to the PT because my back's been hurting me. And I walked in my little gym shorts and whatnot. And the guy looked at me and he said, "I bet you're having middle back problems." Just by mm-hmm. a glance, meeting him. And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, I'm like, "How did you know?" And he's like, "Your back has a big arch." He laid me down on the table, literally went like this. And I was like screaming. It was so painful. So it just reminds me of that. Like, doctors can do it, veterinarians.
It's actually very straightforward to simply just share a video clip of like, here's how your dog did sits at 6 months ago. Here's how your dog's doing sits now. We don't know, like, we're not going to say what this means because it's really a conversation you should have with your veterinarian. Like, that's always right. The appropriate response.
Right.
But here, why don't you take this video clip to your veterinarian and just like have them take a look. We'd be very happy if we could provide that service to almost all the pet parents out there, is to give them confidence in knowing that there's always a service, there's always a brand out there that's watching for those little things that are really hard to pick up
on.
So
important.
Yeah, exactly.
If the dog's spraying an ACL and nobody's paying attention, they're going to tear it in mm-hmm. like 2 days. Do we have time to talk about behavior problems? Because I know I want to use this with clients. I know there's so many behavior problems people have, separation anxiety, chronic barking. Do you have enough time, or should we have you back again to talk about how this services people with behavior problems?
Oh, I like that. So I've actually got to drop here in 7 minutes. I've got another
talk
recording
fast,
I'm doing.
Talk fast, John.
But the what I'd say is there's probably another like 30 to 45 minutes we could talk about just in terms of the results we've seen from everything on just quieting down anxious behaviors because we're giving the dog a really cool outlet for hours a day, all the way up to a journal article we published very early on in the Journal of Veterinary Behavior with our partners at the SFSPCA who host our headquarters, mm-hmm. On a dramatic reduction in the symptoms of separation anxiety and hyperattachment in an animal that had gone through like all of the pharma and all of the behavioral protocols.
Right.
We don't, like, to be honest, we don't know the full extent of how this device can be used as a tool to help with those instances. But the anecdotal, the low instances we've seen have been dramatic and really exciting. So I think there's a whole 20 or 30 minute conversation on what we've seen to date and where we hope to help.
Well, we'll hope to have you back. I have a couple more questions, so I'll talk fast. But I saw a dog today that for 3 years had an electronic shock collar, an invisible fence, and a bark collar. And
oh, God.
The dog was rescued and has that hyperfixation. So, you know, and I've worked with this woman. We've now traced it back for 34 years. So we've basically grown up together. She knows all my protocols, my philosophy. Still, when she steps out, so what I'm envisioning is the dog gets conditioned to the device, gets excited when they see a device, and then the device can be paired with the woman leaving, maybe just to go to the bathroom and then go to the car and back. And mm-hmm. so now the dog is like, leave, bring out the machine. I want to have some fun, right? Because, I mean, anxious dogs do not like being alone. And this yeah. even provides voice responses to their responses. Mm-hmm. Behaviors like barking, greeting. You just say yes or no, because then we'll have you back. Like, what other behaviors do your professionals at Companion, like, are they practicing? Can it target?
We've published on the low or the small end results on separation anxiety that are quite dramatic. There's a pathway. One of our advisors has already demonstrated a positive reinforcement, no barking protocol that we're pretty excited about.
Oh, I love that.
So you can imagine, like, Sasha Protopovas, who's one of the phenomenal researcher in the space, published about 6 or 7 years ago on a way to do bark reduction via positive reinforcement by essentially reinforcing for larger and larger periods of calm. So the absence of barking. So instead of shocking for a bark, you reward the dog for calm, which a device like Companion with infinite patience, if you put it by the door, say, or put it, or even
you
load
can program
the sounds
it to
of like
trigger When the dog barks?
Yeah, so you could do it a handful of different ways, but you could do everything from like helping the dog get ready for those stimuli that might cause barking, right. Like play the noise of a UPS truck, play the noise of like mail going through the slot,
right.
But then like actually and do that 100 to 200 times counter conditioning to make sure the animal doesn't see that as a threat or less likely to. And then if you already have an existing barking problem, the idea would be to put the device where you notice the dog having the most severe challenge.
Can you reinforce it for going to a mat?
Yeah. Mat training was one of the first things we did. It's really easy for the computer vision to see like a blue mat or, you know, a mat and then understand if the animal's on top.
My God, people could use it during dinner time. Just have the dog lie down.
Totally.
Unbelievable. So when we do this funny thing, my shepherd barks, the other dogs don't bark, but he like alerts them and they all line up at the picture window. Happy. And I call him back. I say, champagne for everyone. And I shake a thing and I just throw it. So his association is bark a couple times and come back. But I don't know what he does when I'm not here. I don't have a camera on him. So I see this can be programmed even when you're not there to be reinforcing behavior problems. Many of the dogs just bark at the window when people drive up. But this could be programmed to work when you're not home and when you're
totally.
Home.
The idea is, so we've allowed people to start scheduling sessions for a long time so they can program sessions to run throughout the day. They can also start them either at home or away from home, just using the app or even press the device and we'd love to get to a point where we actually would allow the dog itself to start a session if they'd like. You can imagine the same way that like we talk to Alexis at Alexa or talk to Google.
Sounds like that would take you about 6 hours to figure out.
It wouldn't take me. They're much smarter engineers around the company than I am. But it would. You can imagine like a dog just going up to the device when it wants to something to do and like doing a sit, and then when the device sees that sit, a session starts.
That's brilliant. John, I know you have places to go. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope we can have you back. When is the first batch being sent out so those of us who want the next batch can sign up?
So you can find out more at joincompanion.com. So www.joincompanion.com, just
J-O-I-N.
Yep. And then companion
versus
just
J-O-I-N.
Like
it's... Got it.
Exactly.
Initially, I was typing in joint companion, and it's not joint with the T, it's join.
Join, exactly. And so the first ship date we offered was February of 24, and I think they're now sold out until at least August of 24. With the intent being we'd like to sell
out. That is not good news. That is bad news. You've got us all excited.
So we... So the only thing we'd say is sign up if you're interested. Like we try to make the reservation as small as possible. So it's $49 and the companion can be as little as $25 a month.
Are there different sizes for different dogs?
One size for every dog. It's
because
I'm
going on and I'm ordering mine right now, but I'm not going to get it for over a year is what you're telling me.
So and we think it's likely we sell out for the first couple years here pretty shortly. Like our goal internally is to sell out all of the next 2 years of production.
You don't
with
have
them.
Any laying around your house you can send me?
No. Like we have short answer is we have very few around because they're in such high demand, especially with some of the influencers you're going to see come up with.
Coming out early. This is like a year people are going to have to salivate before they get it. Well,
we're
good
excited.
For you. I'm so excited. I was a little unsure because I'm scared of my phone in general, but this doesn't – it sounds like the machine actually does the work for you pretty much.
It makes it really easy to make sure your dog's having a blast at home during the day.
It.
And it gives you a ton of tools to have a better relationship with your dog. So, we're super excited about it.
Well, thanks for living, for being born. It sounds like this is what you were born for. And we'll be excited to have you on the show again.
Sounds great. Thanks so much,
All
Sarah.
Right. Bye. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I can't believe I have to wait until August 24. I'm so excited to use this product. I had no idea that the inventor and CEO was going to be so chatty and so open with me on this show. So I'm going to go off and just pet my dogs for a little while, stare at the wall. And then I'll get up and I'll do 10,000 sits before midnight. Kidding.